I'm always thankful for the opportunity to be able to preach. Well, we've got some different things coming up. We have camp. We have VBS this coming week. We've got a lot of different things with our young people, our children, our teenagers that are coming up. And I thought, how important would it be to talk about the next generation? There's another generation of people that are, of young people that are coming up in a world that is a lot different than a lot of you grew up in. So the generation of young people that are growing up in a civilization, in a world, in a country with pressures that a lot of you did not face. Some were quite the same. Some are a lot different. But in the Bible, we find some principles, we find some truths, we find some things about the next generation I want to share tonight. You know, when I was growing up, my mom's here this afternoon, my mom's here. When I was growing up, if I heard my name one time, I was supposed to perk my ears up and listen. Now, if I heard my name a second time, I really better perk up. But if I had to hear my name a third time, I wasn't in too much good graces with my mother. Let's just put it that way. If I had to hear my name a third time, it wasn't John Boucher. It was this. John Matthew Boucher IV, you better get over here right now. And I've heard that quite a few times, as you could tell in my tone. But in the Bible, God gives us one phrase, and it's found three different times. We find the phrase, another generation found, that first mention. I want you to look at Judges chapter 2 and verse number 10. That phrase, another generation, the Bible says in Judges chapter 2 and verse number 10, the Bible says, and also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. Now I want you to catch the context of this. This is the children of Israel. And he's talking here, and I want you to catch what he says. He says, they were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose, here's that phrase, another generation after them. And here is the sad statement that's made about this generation, that another generation. It says, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. This first mention of Judges chapter 2 is really interesting. And it talks about another generation. But it talks about something that's really interesting. You know, right now, there's just over 7 billion people on the earth. And I want you to catch a statistic that may floor you. 80% of the young people growing up today will grow up without a Christian home. Now, I had the privilege to be able to be raised in a Christian home, in a home that showed up to church when the doors were open, in a home where the Bible wasn't just open on Sundays, but it was opened throughout the week as well. I had the privilege of being able to be raised in a household that had that happen. But 80% of young people that are being born and raised in the country and in the world that we live in today don't have that privilege. 8 out of every 10 teenagers will never walk into a church building. 85% say that they believe in God. This is interesting. 85% of young people today, this is Generation Z, say that they believe in God, but only 38% of that have ever even gone to church at all. And this is the generation that is coming up right now. This is a generation that will be the next set of politicians, the next, you name it, our next president of the United States. And you think about some of the things that are being taught, some of the things that are being indoctrinated into some of our young people. I say I have the privilege. I don't really have the privilege, but I have the ability to be able to go into some of these public schools and to see some of what is going on and see what is being taught and hear some of the feedback of some of the things that are being pushed. And I'm going to tell you, it would scare some of you to know what's being taught in some of these schools. What is being pushed as what is prominent and perfect and right and what is supposed to be taken as the norm is would scare some of you. And I'm watching as this generation is coming up. And I'm watching through our youth group and through the young people that come through our church and through some of the young people that are coming through that I come across on a regular basis. And I'm watching and I'm burdened. You say, well, good, I'm glad. That's your job. No, it's not. I'm burdened not because that's what I do for a living. I'm burdened because I'm a human being. And I'm burdened because of what I see going on. And I'm burdened because I don't want to see the Bible go astray. Judges chapter 2, that verse said, also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers after them, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord. Number one tonight, I want you to notice this, the problem with another generation. We've got a generation of, we've got a group of young people here, some that are going to camp, some that are just part of our youth group that are here tonight. And I want you to catch something tonight that's really interesting. We have young people here tonight that are, most of them have grown up in a Christian home. But they're part of that 20%. But you know, what is so scary to me is there is a generation right now that's growing up without this book, without it being taught in their school, without it being taught in their home, without the principles of this book being taught at their home, with their parents, with their, you name it. And here's the problem with another generation. They don't know the Lord. You say, Johnny, why do you do what you do? That's it right there. Johnny, why do you do what you do? Johnny, why do you work so hard with the young people? Johnny, why do you go into the schools and try to reach people? Johnny, why do you... Right there. Because there rose another generation. Now catch this. He's talking to the Israelites because the Israelites were the people that saw God do amazing things. The Israelites were the people that saw God raise the water so that they could escape the Egyptians. The Israelites are the people that saw God do 10 plagues at the Egyptians so that they could get out of there. And the Israelites are the people that saw God do some of His greatest works. And now there's another generation that's come up behind the Israelites. That have not seen the waters parted, that have not seen the plagues, that have not seen the amazing works that God has done, and they were raising those children. And here's what they say, here's what the writer says, there arose another generation after them, and they didn't know the Lord, nor the works which He has done for Israel. And can I tell you something? God may have done amazing things in your life, and I hope He has. And I hope you've seen God work, and I hope you've seen God do some amazing things in your family and in your life. But can I tell you something? There is a rising right now another generation that doesn't know the Lord. Nor the works which He's done. They don't know the things that God's done for you. And the problem with another generation is this. They don't know the Lord. You know what's amazing is there's a generation I'm watching in our church and in the circle that I run, I'm watching great men and women pass off the scene. But what I'm watching is another generation of young people that are coming up. Because those are the next politicians. Those are our next pastors. Those are our next evangelists. Those are the group of people that are coming up to take some of our places. And what are we doing to help them? You know, there's those that know enough to say that they're Christians and yet they don't really know God. It's interesting. I went to a Bible college in Tennessee. I went to Crown College up in Tennessee. And when I was out, we had a ministry every year, every semester. We had to be in a soul-winning ministry. So that was either on door-to-door visitation, that was the prison ministry, that was the nursing home ministry, where you could proclaim the gospel, that was considered a soul-winning ministry. And so one semester, I tried to do a different ministry every semester. I was in the Bible clubs in the public schools, I was in the nursing home, I was in the jail ministry. But one semester, I did soul-winning ministry, door-to-door visitation, which we do here on a regular basis. But I encountered something up there that I actually had never encountered before, and I grew up doing door-to-door visitation. Here's what I encountered. Now, catch this. This was in the Bible Belt. Now, here's what... I come to this door, knock on the door, and I said, my name's John Boucher, and I told him where I was from, Temple Baptist Church. I said, I'm from Temple Baptist Church, and I'm out inviting people to church. 14-year-old boy. And he looks at me, his parents weren't home, and I said, have you ever been to church? No. I said, okay. I said, I'd like to invite you. And I asked him a question, and I said, if you died right now, God forbid, but if you died right now, do you know where you'd spend eternity? And he kind of looked at me puzzled, like he had never thought about that before. Like he had never been asked that question, never thought about what would happen to him after he died. He said, no, I haven't. I don't know what would happen to me when I die. And I don't know what prompted this in my head, but I said, do you know who God is? No idea. No idea. And I thought to myself, man, it hurt. I thought, there's another generation that is growing up without this book and without the principles that this book teaches and without the morals that this book teaches, without the God of this book. And I stopped and I said, can I tell you? Can I tell you? And that young man showed up to church the next Sunday, come on the bus, showed up to church, made a profession of faith, asked Jesus Christ to be his personal Savior. And can I tell you something? It was some of the most joyous times. Because I came across and I can see, and I know each and every one of you can see and know that there is another generation that is coming up behind us that does not know the Lord. You know, a lot of people say, well, Johnny, you're in the youth ministry because your dad's a dad's a pastor. You saw it. It was easy for you. All you had to do was graduate and it was in for you. No. I have a burden for young people. I have a burden to see this next generation follow the Lord. Follow what God wants for them. Find God's will for their life. Follow after it, but then stick to it. That's my burden. That's my goal. That's what I want to do. Well, Johnny, it was easy. No, if it was easy, I don't even know what to say to that. Pastor, what should I say to that? Is the ministry easy, Pastor? It's great. But I tell you, one thing that's awesome is working with your father. I've learned a lot from this man. And I've learned a lot about how to endure some of the things, how to face some of the problems that we face. You know what's interesting is I've had youth pastors and pastors tell me that a lot of pastors that are now pastoring used to be in the youth ministry. And I've counseled and talked with a lot of them. And here's what they've told me. Youth ministry today is a lot different than it used to be because of what's happening in our culture today. The problem with another generation is that they don't know the Lord. Number two, I want you to turn over to the book of Joel with me. Joel, chapter number one. Joel, chapter number one. We find the second mention, Joel, Amos, Obadiah. Joel, chapter one. We find this second mention here in Joel, chapter one, verse number two. The Bible says here, hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children, here's that net phrase, another generation. Number two, I want you to catch this tonight, the potential of another generation. The potential of another generation. I tell our kids all the time, you will reach people that I never have the ability to reach. There's a lot of kids that I'll never meet, but they meet every day, every week, throughout the school year. And I tell them this, you know what? You have the potential beyond what I even have to be able to reach this next generation. And if we could just get a hold of that, if we could just get a hold of the potential that another generation has, we think to ourselves, well, they're young, they don't have the smarts that I have, they don't have the experience that I have, they don't understand the same things that I understand. Can I tell you something? Help them along! Because their potential is higher and more, it has more weight than yours would have in a public school. It has more weight than probably you, they have more weight than you would have with their friends. And I'm telling you something, if we can just take the time to understand the potential of another generation, it will change the way we view and the way we talk to and the way we associate ourselves with the teenagers of our day. The potential of another generation. You know what's amazing is we can do all we want in our church right here, but there is a group of people that are outside these walls that don't know the Lord. We sit in our church building with our air conditioning and we have a great time. We hear God's word preached and it is good for us to be edified in the things of the Lord. But there outside these walls are a group of people and a bunch of people in the Englewood, Rotunda, South Venice, Port Charlotte, Northport area that do not know the Lord. And the potential that sits in this room alone is crazy. 38% of teenagers that were surveyed said that they were led to Christ by a friend or a family member. How many of you would say tonight, you don't need to raise your hand, how many of you say, Johnny, I know of a family member or I know of a friend that needs to know about the Lord? You don't need to raise your hand, but I want you to think about it, because what's the potential that you have? You have the potential far more. I probably don't even know the person that you're thinking about. Pastor probably does not even know the person that you're thinking about. But the potential that you have to be able to reach that next generation is beyond what we could ever do. Now, the Greek games. How many of you ever have seen anything about the Greek games? Similar to, I guess, what our Olympics would be. The Greek games. They used to have a saying. What they would do is they would, at this ceremony at the end, they would pass the torch on. And it would continue down the line, passing the torch, passing the torch, passing the torch. And they had a saying, and it said this: pass the light to the person in front of you. Pass the light to the person in front of you. And can I apply that to us today? There is a generation coming up behind that may not have as much light as you've been giving. Can you pass that light, please? Pass the light to the next generation. There are young people that may not know as much as you know. There are young people that have not been educated maybe as you have. There are young people that don't know as much about God as you know. Pass the light. Some of my favorite times are when I'm able to spend one-on-one, one-on-two with some young people at ice cream, at lunch, and just sit down and talk about things of God with them. And be able to just say, hey, what's going on in your personal life? What's going on in your devotional life? What have you found about God recently that'll change your life? What have you found in your Bible reading that has changed the way you view things? And you know what's amazing? Some of the answers you get are interesting. I could come up with messages just from talking with some of our teenagers. But each and every one of us tonight have light If you hold this book in your hand, you have one of these at your house, you hold them when you come to church, you've been given light. And can I give you something tonight? If you've been given light, pass it to the person in front of you. Pass it on to the people that need to know, because like I said, they come up. They're coming up. I can't believe in 3 years we've graduated off, however many we have, Mr. Dean. It's been crazy how many have come through and gone in just the 3 years that I've been on staff here. And it comes and goes so quick. The potential of another generation. Lastly, I want you to look over in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter number 1. This is the last mention of this phrase, another generation. Ecclesiastes chapter number 1. The Bible says in verse number 1, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? Now catch verse number 4. One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh. But the earth abideth forever. Number 3, I want you to hear this tonight. The passing of another generation. There will be one generation of people that will be the last that will ever be born on the face of this earth. The Bible says, one generation passeth away and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. No one can live forever. You know, and I think to myself, man, I wish I could accomplish all that I want to accomplish in just the time span that God's given to us on this earth. There's so many things, so many ways, so many people to reach. And yet, each one of us by ourselves wouldn't be able to do it. There's a world out there that needs to know Jesus, and none of us can do it on our own. That's why compounding what we have, multiplication is so awesome. If you look in the book of Acts, you'll see the process of multiplication. It's amazing to look at Jesus. He says, and they multiplied, and they multiplied, and the number multiplied. And that's what should happen in the Christian life. We ought to have, we find Jesus Christ, we become His, but we are now saved, but we go out and we multiply that. 1, 2, 3, we go out and we reach people. Those 2 people then can reach people. Those 4 people can then go out and reach people. And so on and so forth it goes. That process of multiplication is so, so key. Because why? There's a passing of another generation. I took a vacation with our family. It was before I was out of the house. I was still in our house living with my parents, and we took a vacation. Some of you may have heard this story before. We took a vacation to the Smoky Mountains, my dad's favorite place to go. So we go up to the Smoky Mountains, and we went with our friends. If you love your friendship with your friends, I would encourage you, please do not take a vacation with them. Stay apart. If you go on a vacation with them, do not stay in the same cabin as them. Go in different cabins. If you do go to eat every day, do not go to eat every day with those same friends. Maybe try to go do something. Just a word of advice. We go on vacation with my favorite, my best friend, his whole family, still best friends to this day. We go to the Pigeon Forge, Gatlinburg area. We get a cabin. And all of us kids are downstairs in the basement of this cabin. And we were just to fend for ourselves. Hey, guys, here's some blankets. Hey, here's some pillows. Make a bed on the floor. There's a pool table over there. Just sit on the pool table. Make yourself a bed. Do whatever you want. Okay. So we're there. And I can hear the adults upstairs, just like Brother Keith is very nosy. Did you catch how nosy Brother Keith was? He actually went over to the door so he could listen to what was happening with his parents. Did you catch how nosy he was? I did the same thing, Brother Keith, so don't feel too bad. I go up to the top of the stairs to listen to what the adults were saying. I was very nosy. And when I got up to the top of the stairs, I heard what was being discussed. our plans for the next day. A couple of things were thrown around, but somehow we landed on whitewater rafting. None of us had ever been whitewater rafting. How fun is this going to be? We're going to have a blast. Let's go with our best friends. Let's go whitewater rafting. It'll be magical. It'll be great. So we do that. We drive the 45 minutes to where the whitewater rafting place was, and we get in line. We've never been whitewater rafting before. We don't know what to expect. So we get in line. When we get in line, we get to the front. And the man asks my father, "What class of rapids would you like to do?" My dad, not wanting to say, "I'd like to do a one, please." Apparently they're labeled 1 through 5. Okay? My dad, not wanting to say 1, 2, or 3 because he's a man. Right? Man, we are not whitewater rafting if we're in 1, 2, or 3, okay? So, we have to go 4 or 5. Now, mind you, my little sister is 7 or 8 years old at this time. Barely could walk. No, just kidding. She's 7 or 8 years old at this time. And my dad, he gets asked this question, and you can tell the wheels are turning in his head. And he turns around, and he just looks at us. And I kind of looked at him. I don't know why I remember this so vividly. And I looked at him, and I said, "We have Julianne." Just like that. I said, "We have Julianne." And my mom is over there. And at this point, now we see people getting ready to go on these rapids. They've got helmets on, they've got life vests on, they've got bulletproof vests on, they've got the shoes on, they've got everything ready, and they're ready to go. They've got scuba tanks on, right? They're ready to go, and we're like, "What?" So Dad looks, he says, "We'll do class 4, please." Thank you, Dad. I appreciate it. So we go class 4. We get our helmets on, we get our life jackets on, we get everything ready, they hand us our paddles. Me and James are, you know, we're ready to go. My brother, Matt, we're ready to go. We're like the macho men. We're ready to go. "Where do you want to sit?" I said, "Oh, we'll sit in the front. We're right in the front." So me and my brother, we take a nice little seat. Him on the left, me on the right. And I'm sitting there. And we get in that boat. And we start on our way down. Well, the most amazing thing in the world was our best friends are down in the boat in front of us. And they're scooting along because they did the same exact rapids we did. Well, guess what? They had gotten a lot of rain that summer. Little did we know they had gotten a lot of rain that summer. And if you've been whitewater rafting, you know if there's a lot of rain, that means the rapids are really, really rapidy. So, we get on this rapid and we're going and our friends are in front of us. And we are going down these rapids, and we are getting the hang of this thing. My brother and I think we are the smartest people in the world because we haven't crashed, we haven't gotten really wet yet, we haven't had anything happen. So me and my brother are thinking to ourselves, yeah, it's me and my brother, it's my mom and my sister, and it's my dad in the back, and then there's the guide. She goes all the way to the back, because supposedly she has to be there so she can steer us. So James and I thought we were really steering, but in reality it was the guide. So we are driving down these rapids in our nice little whitewater rafting boat. And down in front of us, we see our friends and their crews run along. And we think to ourselves, man, everything's good. We're about 3/4 of the way through and we are feeling really good. And the lady says to us, "These people are crazy because they name their rapids. They know when there's a rapid coming up. Hell, hey, that's Cooper's Creek up there. That's you don't want to go on this side. You want to go on this side because Cooper's Creek is crazy." So we thought to ourselves, we're coming up on a couple different names. And the lady says, coming up in front of the boat that's in front of us is called the Lost Guide. No. We don't want to lose our guide. You're what's keeping us going forward, lady. And I thought to myself, Lost Guide. Supposedly, the reason they call it Lost Guide is because when you come down this certain spot of the rapid, there's a spot where it flips the back of the boat and your guide is supposed to go goes flying. And that's happened every once in a while, okay? So we come to this part of the rapids, and in front of us, I can see my friends going down the rapids, and I think to myself, oh, lost guide. Here we go. So I, you know, we're yelling out front, and all of a sudden, we see paddles flying everywhere. We see heads popping up out of the water. The boat that was in front of them had flipped. And we're thinking, the people in front of us, in front of them have flipped. We're going to watch them flip. And sure enough, they flipped in front of us. And I'm getting a little bit nervous, you know, just a little bit. And I'm thinking to myself, we're getting ready to go down Lost Guide. And two guides have already been lost. And this is really rapidy, okay? And so I'm thinking to myself, oh man, so we get to this rapid. And we cruise through that first part. And then all of a sudden, sure enough, Miss Guide goes flying over our heads. My brother comes smacking on top of me, and our whole raft has flipped over. Now we've got like 12 people in the water, completely sucking water, trying to figure out what's going to happen and where we're going to go. Can I back up for just a second? Though I missed the whole point of what I was trying to say. When we were getting ready to go, we've watched two rafts already flip. And this is what our guide said to us. It's your turn. It's your turn. And you know what? That kind of got me all energized. It got me all ready to go. She's like, it's your turn. And I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go down these rapids. And guess what? We flip. We're flipping. We're going everywhere. My sister is nowhere to be found. My dad's just swimming along. He's going to swim all the way to the end of the thing and he's going to be fine. Forget about his family. Forget about his wife. Let's just swim all the way to the end. I'll be good. Find my sister. We make it back to the boat. Those guys have got to be really strong because they've got to flip those things back over. Then they got to jump in themselves and then they help you get back in. And what the amazing thing of that story is this. I've thought about this next generation. I told you that whole story to get this point across. I've told you that there's another generation that's coming. I've told you that they don't know the Lord. I've told you that they have so much potential. But can I tell you something that has rung in my ears, just like that guide said to us, it's their turn. But you know, I say that, and I say that to you in here, and you go, yes, it's their turn. I can take a break. I can go sit on the couch. I can sit on the recliner. I don't have to worry about this generation anymore. I don't have to worry about doing anything for the Lord, because it's their turn. If it goes wrong, it's because they didn't. But it's your turn to help them make it their turn. And I'm going to tell you this tonight. If we as Christians and we as the older generation, if we don't get behind this book and start teaching the principles of this book, the passing of another generation is going to come and go, and nothing is going to make a difference. There's another generation that's coming up, and there's a generation that's going out. And I want the generation that is going out to make an impact on the generation that is coming in. And I'm going to tell you this tonight. If we don't, I don't know who will. It's their turn. And it's your turn and my turn to help them with their turn. Because was there somebody in your life that helped guide you and shape you in the things of the Lord? Yeah. There were a lot of people in my life that have helped shape and guide and mold the Christian and the man and the person that I am today. And without those people, I wouldn't be standing here today. And if it wasn't for people in your life, those people that Brother Keith talked about tonight, if it wasn't for those people in your life, you probably would not be sitting in a church building tonight listening to God's word being preached. You probably wouldn't. But God is calling on you and me to be those people that make an impact and make a generation of people to understand what God wants to accomplish in this world. There was a young man, I end with this, there was a young man by the name of Luther Wisehard. This was a young man that God used to turn the world upside down. He went to the monument that was built for the Haystack prayer meeting, where young students got together and prayed for teenagers and young people to go out and live for God. And from that sparked the Haystack revival. But I want you to catch something. What's really interesting. He went to that monument. That monument that was made for a revival that sparked so many people coming to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And Luther Weishaupt got on his knees at that monument. And he stood and he got on his knees and he sat there and he asked one thing. He said, "Oh God, where the waters once flowed, would you let them flow again?" Thousands and thousands of people have been saved as a result of that Haystack revival. And I want you to catch something. 25 to 30,000 people as a result of what young Luther Weishaupt prayed that started something in his life. 25 to 30,000 teenagers in the next 50 years went on to the mission field. And I'm telling you something. If some of us can just get a hold of that fire, can get a hold of the God the way that young Luther Weishaupt did, if some of us can just get before God and say, "God, we've seen revival, we've seen amazing things happen, but we want your word to go forth again. We want it to be spread. We want it to see lives changed. We want people to be saved. We want them to come to know Jesus Christ, and we want them to live for you. God, where the waters flowed, would you let them flow again?" And I give you this challenge tonight. There's another generation. There's another generation that's behind us. There's another generation that's coming up, and they need your prayers. They don't just need your prayers, they need your help. What are we doing? Luther Weishaupt got on his knees and he begged God to do something. And we think we're doing God a favor by showing up on a Sunday night. We think we're doing the preacher a favor when we show up on Wednesday night to hear his Bible study. We think we're doing God a favor. When if we got on our knees and were serious about God and said, "God, oh, let the waters flow." If this book is not the most prominent thing in our life, we won't make an impact on the next generation. You won't make a better impact on the next generation. You won't help them. The people that I know have made an influence in my life, this was key in their life. This was number one in their life. This is what they put first in their life. And if we don't put this book first and see God help us, at the invitation tonight, I'm going to give this one challenge and I'm going to say this. Would you pray for the next generation? Real simple. It's a generation that doesn't know the Lord. There's so much potential. And they're not going to be alive forever. Would you do this one thing tonight? Would you pray for them? Would you pray one of two things? Two of two things. Would you pray these two things? Would you pray that God would use them? But would you pray that God would use you to make an impact on the next generation? Father, we thank you for this time that you've given to us. Oh God, there's another generation. There's a generation that doesn't know you. And Father, we want to do everything we can to show them who you are. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, the piano is playing softly. Some of you say tonight, "Johnny, I know there's another generation. I know that there's young people that need to know about Jesus Christ. And I got to do better." I think about my life. I got to do better. "Johnny, I know there's another generation that needs to hear God. Then I got to do better." My hand's raised. Would you say, "Johnny, I got to do better"? If that's your testimony tonight, would you slip your hand up? Right with mine. "Johnny, I got to do better." Thank you. You can lower them. Maybe you'd say this tonight. "I've been praying, Johnny, but I know there is a specific way that God can use me in a physical sense to be a blessing and a help and an encouragement to just a part of the next generation." You say, "Johnny, I want to be a help. I want to be a blessing. There's a way that God can use me to help this next generation. If that's you, would you slip your hand up? Oh, hands all over the building. Thank you. You can lower them. As soon as I pray, I'm going to give this challenge. Would you come and pray for this next generation? Just pray for them. Just ask God to do something big in their life. Ask God to use you to do and make an impact in their life. But also, I'm going to challenge you to come to see if God could use you. Can we stand together all around?